Welcome to The Revolution, transforming the healthcare industry. There is a revolution happening in healthcare, and it will impact all of us. We live in an age of endless innovation, but where will we see the largest change? Welcome to the HIMSS Innovation That Sticks podcast, where we bring you conversations with innovators who provide insight to unique and transformative solutions and ideas in healthcare through their expertise and experiences. Today, we welcome Scott Feinberg, Vice President of Healthcare Innovation at Infor. Infor builds complete industry suites in the cloud and deploys software that puts the user experience first, leverages data science, and integrates easily with existing systems. Over 90,000 organizations worldwide rely on Infor to help overcome market disruptions and achieve business-wide digital transformation. In this episode, we sit down with Scott and he shares his views on what the typical day of a healthcare executive looks like, how and what impact e-commerce is having on the industry, why home health will be the biggest driver for innovation, and the transformation of the supply chain. All that and more in this episode of Innovation That Sticks.
HIMSS communities are a great way for HIMSS members to volunteer by supporting their favorite health IT topics. Community members network with other health IT experts and professionals, contribute to health IT policy, develop tools and resources for the health IT workforce, and more. If you're interested in helping us shape the HIMSS mission, check out our 11 communities at hims.org/communities. Not a HIMSS member yet? Visit hims.org/membership.
Scott Feinberg is Vice President of Healthcare Innovation at Infor. Scott, thank you for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
What does a typical day look like for an executive focused around innovation?
I kind of chuckled when I first read the question because I pictured someone sitting in a chair and spinning around just waiting for an idea to come through the window and hit them. But that's not the case. I think in reality, if a person is in tune with the direction inside their organization, they are typically going to see some of the biggest challenges that teams are facing and gravitate towards those biggest needs, whether they're related to costs within the system in healthcare specifically, or if they're related to any type of patient engagement or challenges that might be just facing any type of outcomes clinically or financially that the institution is trying to get. So in reality, it's really just identifying the problems and challenges that face your organization and gravitating towards them and trying to solve them with either internal resources or, as the term says, innovate a new concept.
Is that a typical day, you think, across the industry in terms of when you have executive level role that's focused on innovation?
Typical day, just like any other executive, you know, everyone gets involved with capital planning, budget meetings, other types of roadblocks, barriers that might be facing your organization. So I don't think the role is as action-packed and exciting as people make it out to be, where you know you're in the lab and it's MacGyver and you're building stuff. Now you have those moments where you're either launching a new product or you're engaging with a focus group or things of that nature. The reality of it is that you're doing general business work, and sometimes the grind is very similar to that of a CFO or another executive in an organization.
So healthcare as an industry has a reputation for having a conservative nature. Do you find that rubs up against the environment that you need to have innovation happen?
It's definitely a challenge because you're fighting against budget streams that go towards clinical care as well as budget streams to support main IT systems within a healthcare organization. So you end up running the risk of trying to create an innovation prior to having any type of outcomes or actual proof that what you're trying to develop or create or require additional headcount, for example, could actually go anywhere. So your challenges are not just fighting for budget, but it's also fighting for positioning in terms of any type of hiring or hiring freezes that might be taking place. Obviously, clinical care is going to come first, particularly in a healthcare organization. So the realities that you end up battling are probably more than what people think from an external facing point of view.
We are living in an age of seemingly endless innovation. There's 24 months after a new technology comes out, its successor or its rival then shows up. And obviously that has an impact, all these innovations that we're seeing outside of the healthcare industry. You know, we see the impact that has on the industry itself, acutely around user experience, for example. How have the user experiences that patients have had in other industries, how is that impacting their perception of the healthcare that they're receiving?
If you're comparing it to the healthcare they're receiving or comparing it to the applications that they're using, there's obviously a difference, because right now I would suggest that a lot of healthcare institutions are now that they've done their Epic Cerner deployments, they're now turning their eye towards, okay, what do we do for patient engagement? How do we keep that patient engaged in our system? The effects that Amazon has had on the marketplace from a retention perspective and everything. And the reality is, you know, 12 years ago, it was really around e-commerce and, you know, when is e-commerce going to be main stage? And now we're here and it's become main stage. It's become more than main stage. It's become, if you live in an urban area, you expect things to be delivered to your door. You expect, you don't have to have a car anymore because you can do all these different things. So the instant gratification mindset that people live in has completely impacted healthcare, because we walk in and we still get handed a clipboard and we still have to wait. And then we still have to have a fax machine to be able to send things. The attention given towards the patient experience has just not been given there, with the exception of some institutions across the U.S. who have done pretty significant investment into those types of experiences. But to really have what I would call like a fan experience, for example, where you go into an arena and you're part of an experience, that's what healthcare has to get to. And until we can get to that place, the applications are just more driven towards another password that we have to remember, or another username, or another login process, which just really irritates the consumer more than excites them.
You talk about instant gratification. Is it unrealistic for us to treat healthcare the same that we do a sweater being delivered to us?
Well, depending on conditions. I mean, you know, you have to look at it from what's the condition that you're going in to try to get taken care of. There are certain types of conditions which can allow for more of an automated process, like a common cold, strep throat, things like that, where it is more of a factory-based approach. You know, you go in and, hey, while you're there, let's get your flu shot. Okay, great. I'm at MinuteClinic. I'm at a instant urgent care, whatever the case might be. They're popping up as fast as lemonade stands in a mall. To have those type of expectations, there are things you can do around the user experience to make the experience flow more like you would get at a Starbucks or a Chipotle or any type of fast food that might have that pre-order, you know, opportunity for you to come in, pick up what you're looking for, and be able to duck out. I'll tell you a personal experience of mine. Just recently, I was at the doctor about a week ago. You know, I was amazed that first I handed the paperwork that I was sent, the 9 pages I had to fill out by hand, which was great because my handwriting is still terrible. And I see where it goes to my kids now, unfortunately. But she never looked at it. She said she'd rather ask me questions on the way out as part of the process, decided to hand me a prescription in which the prescription had a medication on it, which was clearly outlined. Not only did I discuss it, but it was also outlined in the forms that I'm allergic to and would have a very severe hospitalized reaction. So as I'm walking out the door and I look down at this thing, I said, I can't take that. Oh, we'll just cross it out. That's not an acceptable experience as a consumer. Now, if I were, you know, an older individual and didn't notice to look at that prescription, went and had it filled and ended up having a severe reaction, that reaction could have killed somebody. The overall process of how someone shows up, how someone goes through the process from paperwork, the initial engagement to either post-discharge or any type of post-op, post-encounter situation has to be a seamless experience and has to be something that the person themselves can feel that they are managing their information and making sure that the information is being managed properly. And it's just not there yet.
So the industry has a shift happening. We're moving from fee-for-service to a more value-based approach, a population healthcare model. What type of innovations do you think that's driving in the marketplace transformation?
Home health is really, in my opinion, one of the biggest drivers in terms of, it's really going to be a revolution. You have a mindset in a millennial and younger population that expects everything to be brought to the door, or to, as we talked about, you know, not necessarily needing a car in circumstances like that, combating directly with a Generation X and other generations that are older that have this expectation of wanting to go to the bank and see somebody and wanting to have that personal encounter, or just quite frankly, call an ambulance so I can get picked up and have a conversation with someone. You know, that's a reality that we face. We have to be able to create tools that adapt to all levels of expectations based on what that generation has been used to. If you don't have a wide range of those, it becomes impossible. I'm involved. We are looking at things like modification of supply chain, of being able to get supplies to homes and being able to understand how does a supply chain impact the ability to get not only supplies to the home, but how will it change hospitals' funding or different health systems' funding, because the funding structure is going to change. Now you have to start having different supplies on hand that you didn't have before, or is there a better process such as being able to, when you check out, drop ship it and have it arrive? So you're getting that blend of that in-person experience with a blend of something just showing up at your door. You don't always have to leave the hospital and go directly to the pharmacy or to some supply shop to get fitted. It might be something that you can do at the hospital with a prototype and then have that device or unit, whatever it might be, drop ship right to your house so that it does show up either same day or 24 hours late.
You're talking about the transformation of the supply chain. Is this something that your customers are coming to you talking about? Is it thought leadership that you're bringing this to their attention? What's sort of the mix of understanding of how a new approach transform their an operational process?
So supply chain has always been front and center in terms of hospitals and delivery process in terms of supplies that might be required as part of encounters that take place in the health system. For us, we are constantly looking at ways in terms of how can our software be able to provide the right type of analytic dashboard so that anybody can understand exactly at any time what exactly do I have on hand, how much do I have. But we're really moving into more of a forecasting space. And I don't think it's just us. I think it's as an industry, the sheer glut of data that's out there, we're fortunate we have so much data on hand. Now, like other health systems or anyone who's using clinical data, everyone's now trying to figure out, well, what do you do with this big data that we have sitting around and how do we make that into something that's actionable? So can we find trends within certain types of health conditions, for example, that will dictate based on this procedure, you can expect your supply chain cost to be X per person or, you know, any type of deviation from that? You know, it's really going to take us probably a couple of years to be able to sift through and truly understand when you have a condition, you know, let's just say we're looking at something like stage 3 breast cancer. Stage 3 breast cancer may have different types of other secondary conditions. So it might be a diabetic foot ulcer that goes with that. Or in another case, it could be a finger issue that goes along with that. Each one of those conditions can have a slight deviation on what the outcome from a cost perspective could look like. So it's really a mapping exercise that we have to get into and start looking into how we can start predicting that better and give a more regular cost structure for health systems so they can start doing more predictive in terms of their forecasting.
We've talked about the transformation that the industry is going through. We talked about changing expectations from the patient level, from that healthcare consumer level. Wondering if we can broaden that conversation out a little bit, talk in terms of your own relationship, your organization's relationship with your clients, and how involved are your clients in terms of the design of new products and services?
So our clients are a huge contributor to the design of what we put into the marketplace because they're the ones that are going to be using it. We have had a fortunate experience using human-centered design, for example, with our design teams that are based out of New York, and that's been very effective. Really, you start getting into certain type of design structure when you start talking to users and really getting into their workspace, for example. If I'm holding an iPhone on my left hand more predominantly than I do on my right, maybe the switching of a thumb from the left hand might be a better use than on the right hand. And you have to start taking in consideration little nuances that I don't think that we expected to back 10, 12 years ago when you started to just kind of look at what you're working on and just sitting at your desk and typing and hoping your back doesn't fall asleep from sitting there all day. It's a different approach in terms of engaging with our clients. In fact, we now have clients, and I would say as a whole, the market are really coming to us to even get into opportunities to do co-development that may include opportunities to do joint development on certain intellectual property. And that's something that I think that is attributed to healthcare looking to actually expand into revenue streams that are beyond what they consider to be just clinical. They have to branch into other areas that are different financially driven operations that contribute to their bottom line, quite frankly. Because if you're not engaged in those, if you're just sitting around waiting for the next Medicare patient to come in, who's not going to be paying you more than 30 cents in the dollar at times, that's not going to keep you in business. Especially when your cash and fee for service individuals are going down the street for strep tests and other types of things. You're losing that retention. So other types of retention tools have to be created and other types of revenue streams.
You mentioned human-centered design as an approach that your design team, and that's the impact that's had on this co-design experience that you've talked about with your clients. What are some other words of advice, some areas for organizations that want to embrace that sense of co-design with their healthcare clients? What advice would you have for them?
I would suggest that you don't have all the answers. Don't walk into any meeting or encounter that you have a clear understanding of what you're going to propose, because it's probably going to change. Most discovery that's done with clients end up in a whiteboarding session or post-it notes on the board. And to really get to the heart of what the challenge and the problem is that you're trying to solve takes quite a bit of back and forth. It takes virtual modeling in terms of what a marketplace would potentially use that application or device for. How is that device or application going to share data with other systems? How will those other systems be accessible by which people, et cetera, et cetera? So it becomes a domino effect, because you really have to look at everything from role-based security straight across to the simple grandma who wants to log in to potentially access something. And that becomes quite complicated. So you really have to go into it as a true spirit of partnership, a willingness to throw things out the window and not take it personally, and look at ways to essentially build as fast as you can, but make sure, for the vendor community in particular, you have to get a commitment from your customer. This is not just about vendors or partners coming in and saying, we're going to build something for you, let's co-develop. If you don't have that commitment from the healthcare system themselves, meaning its resources, time, executive access, things of that nature, the project probably won't have the support it needs to move forward.
Scott, we've got time for one last question we ask all of our guests on Innovation That Sticks. I'm wondering if you can describe for us an aha moment of innovation that took place at your organization.
I think the aha moment for us happens on a pretty regular basis when we engage with our clients. Half the time, the innovation comes in the form of change of process. Most people don't even realize what they have at their fingertips to be able to do something, because they've been so used to doing a process or a specific way about doing their business that they didn't realize that the application or software that's sitting in front of them has the ability to potentially automate or change that process. So we really enjoy the aha moment when we're sitting with one of our clients and they say, well, we're looking for this or we're looking for that. And well, you already have it in front of you. That's the aha moment. And that's the moment where we can walk out and go, oh, okay, well, we did our job for the day. So that's a good feeling.
Opportunity to pat yourself on the back.
You know, every now and again, it's okay to slap yourself on the back. If you got to take the wins where you can get them.
Absolutely. Scott Feinberg is Vice President of Healthcare Innovation at Infor. Scott, thank you so much for joining us today on Innovation That Sticks.
Thanks. It's been a lot of fun.
Hi, I'm Carrie Amato, Director of Professional Development at HIMSS, where I'm responsible for developing and executing our educational offerings. And you're listening to Innovation That Sticks.
We'd like to thank our guest, Scott Feinberg, Vice President of Healthcare Innovation at Infor, for sharing his valuable insights on e-commerce and why innovation is imperative for home health management. HIMSS is a global voice, advisor, and thought leader of health transformation through health information and technology, with a unique breadth and depth of expertise and capabilities to improve the quality, safety, and efficiency of health, healthcare, and care outcomes. HIMSS designs and leverages key data assets, predictive models, and tools to advise global leaders, stakeholders, and influencers of best practices in health information and technology, so they have the right information at the point of decision. HIMSS drives innovative, forward-thinking around best uses of information and technology in support of better connected care, improved population health, and low cost of care. Innovation That Sticks is a copyrighted production of HIMSS. Rod Piowski is executive producer. Ian Hoffberg is producer. Adam Baser is line producer. And Kelly Lippitt is story editor and guest relations manager. For more information on today's guest and topic, please visit the HIMSS Innovation That Sticks landing page on www.hims.org. You can send comments to value@hims.org. Beyond the Innovation That Sticks podcast, HIMSS offers an innovation community. Join the other 9,000 plus professionals for great speakers and valuable information exchange. Thank you for joining us today, and we hope to see you next time on Innovation That Sticks.